This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. A recent court case in London has been raising the profile of the cryonics industry and the Cryonics Institute, which is located in Clinton Township in Michigan. It's one of only three cryonic storage facilities in the world. The court case revolved around the rights of a terminally ill 14-year-old British girl who wanted to have her body frozen upon death in the hope of being resuscitated in the future. Her parents had opposing views, and they had to go to court. The judge upheld her right to be cryogenically frozen. She died on October 17th, and her body was transferred to the Cryonics Institute earlier this month. Joining us is Professor Hank Greeley. He's a professor of law and genetics at Stanford. So let's talk about the process. She was delivered into the hands of cryonics. Each one has a slightly different method, but the main idea is to freeze and preserve the body. What problems are there with that process?
So if you're dealing with small enough bits of life, you can do that successfully. We can freeze sperm, we can freeze embryos, we can freeze eggs, and most, though not all of the time, when you revive them, they can function. The problem is when you get to bigger things, they don't freeze very well. The larger an object is, the harder it is to freeze it, and the more likely there will be, or the more certain it is, that there will be damage to the object when you freeze it. Sometimes that damage is caused by ice crystals forming inside cells. Sometimes it's caused by ice crystals forming outside the cells in the area of the body between cells. Sometimes it's caused by salt concentrations or by chemicals that are used to make cryopreservation more plausible. Bottom line is no one has yet come anywhere close to bringing back to life even a mouse or even an organism smaller than a mouse because of the cellular damage that freezing does.
I know that Cryonics Institute talks about a process they use that removes a lot of the water so that when these people in future years, decades, centuries, when they try to resuscitate them, that crystallized water damage that you're talking about won't happen. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, if they could successfully revive a mouse, I would listen to them a lot more carefully. But there's some plausibility to it. The problem, of course, is what's happening to the cells, what damage are you doing to the cells in the process of removing the water? Leaving aside the fact that they do a relatively slow freeze, what damage is being done to the cells and the tissues during the 5 days in which they're freezing people, let alone however many days it takes to get the corpse to their facility? The damage is going on throughout that time. Removing the water may or may not, I haven't seen anything they've published on it, but may or may not prevent some forms of damage, but it may create other forms of damage. And what's really important here is that they really want to freeze and successfully revive the brain in all of its complexity and glory. The goal is to bring back the person. And it is true that neuroscientists think that the person is physically encoded in the brain. But the brain is incredibly complicated. It's got a billion cells. Those cells make connections with each other. The neurons do that are called synapses, and there are about 10 trillion synapses in a human brain. Even if you didn't have the cells damaged, if the synapses are damaged, that's going to do damage to the brain. There are also chemicals at different points in the brain that are really important, as far as we can tell, to consciousness. So you might, in theory, be able to bring back a finger, but bringing back a brain is much, much more complicated. And I think, at least for the foreseeable future, it's as close to impossible as I'm willing to say anything is in science. Even if this did work and you were able to bring back and revive a brain, it's a dead brain. It's a brain from someone who has already died. And how much damage that in itself causes is another huge question mark about this whole procedure.
Of course, they have on their website a lot of explainers about how the process works and keeping the body alive through a breathing machine and other things until that moment that they are ready to start the process of cryonics. So they have a lot of answers to questions from experts like you, but it sounds like you're going to remain skeptical until we see that resuscitated mouse.
Right, or until that they publish in the peer-reviewed literature something showing exquisitely fine preservation of a frozen brain. You know, by the way, they can't keep a living brain alive while they freeze it. because in that case, the person wouldn't be dead. The brain has to be dead before the person can be declared dead. If you free somebody whose brain is still alive, you're actually committing murder. So they have answers. And let me be clear. I'm not accusing them of fraud. I think people often are extremely optimistic, particularly about things that they do and they believe in.
Yeah, and they're making no promises that this is going to work.
And I think that's important, although there is kind of an implicit promise that it might work, or else why would they offer it for $40,000 or so per corpse? If they were making claims, more broad claims, I think it could be a fraud case. But right now, as long as they're being honest about the lack of any current ability to bring it back and are just waving their hands about possible future use, I think it's an incredible waste of money. But we let people waste money all the time.
Right, exactly.
In a way, you could think about it as just another form of either burial or, well, another form of dealing with human remains. You can be buried, you can be cremated, or you can be frozen.
Sounds like high-stakes gambling to me. That's what I see it as.
Either way, you're a corpse. If you want to spend $40,000 on a funeral, maybe spending $40,000 on being frozen isn't all that much different.
So how popular are these? There are three of them in the world. Does this mean this business model probably doesn't have a great future, or are these three businesses really, really busy?
So I don't know about the Russian business. I don't know the details on the Russian business. The one in Arizona, Alcor, says it has about 150, I think, corpses preserved, human corpses. They will also freeze pets. I think the Michigan one has about 100 to 150 preserved. They've both been in business for multiple decades. So if you think about a total of, say, 300 in the United States over 30 years, that doesn't sound like a very effective business model. One thing they do is sell memberships to living people, so they're getting some money from people who are still alive, some of whom ultimately decide not to be frozen. If it were, let me put it this way, if it looked like a really profitable business model, I think we'd have more than two small companies doing it.
And, of course, one of them is non-profit, not-for-profit, so maybe it's just like like a cemetery, except a lot colder, because you've got this perpetuity funding that keeps up the maintenance, and maybe that's all you need. Maybe there's not really a need for big investment.
Maybe. The fact that something's nonprofit doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't benefiting from it, though.
Oh, we know that. We're aware of that. I want to ask you one final question, and this is not so much a science question, but sort of an ethics question. Do you think this is ethical in that the results are uncertain and we're basically investing in a wish and a hope?
I wouldn't offer this service myself. It is not consistent with my own personal view of how I want to spend my life in an ethical way. On the other hand, if you really believe that there is a chance, and if you tell competent adults, 14-year-old issue comes up in part because she wasn't an adult, she's old enough to have reasonable decisions. If you tell them the truth about how uncertain it is, and they decide they want to go forward, is astrology unethical? Is the lottery unethical? There are a lot of ways that we convince people to waste their money that our society allows and even encourages.
That's Professor Hank Greeley. He's a professor of law and genetics at Stanford. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for calling me.